This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities. All with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again!
Again!
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship!
Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 158. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. As we're recording this, it's Sunday night, 9:12 p.m. Eastern time. We do not have word of where Juan Soto is going yet. We do have word from Andy Martino and Mike Puma, both New York reporters, that the decision is expected tonight. So we'll see what happens. But this is the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Before we get going, subscribe wherever you're getting your podcast. Rate 5 stars, all that jazz. Go to YouTube on the WEI channel. You can find the Play Tessie playlist there. Find all of our episodes there. Hit the thumbs up on those episodes. We really appreciate it. And as always, we're on the socials at Play Tessie on both Twitter and Instagram. I'm here with Sammy. I'm here with Pat. It's Gordo here. And by God, how do we not have a decision yet? Okay, I'm going to put my weekend in perspective here. So there was a bar mitzvah in Connecticut that I had to be at this weekend, and the plan was drive there on Saturday, drive back on Sunday. So my wife and I were going to split the driving, and I decided that I wanted to be not driving when I thought the best chance that the Soto news would drop would be happening. So I drove there on Saturday. As we are leaving, literally as I'm turning the key in the ignition, the three of us here get a text from Bradfo that says Juan Soto is signing with ... And like Pat said something like, I think Pat, you predicted where he was signing. And Rob said, no, I'm not asking. I'm telling you. And I have to go. And so I'm on the road and you guys are texting back and forth as he's messing with us wholeheartedly. And I'm clicking the stupid audio thing to read me off the messages, and it pauses the music every single time to read the messages. The biggest pain. But yeah, he didn't sign on Saturday. Drove back Sunday. He didn't sign on Sunday. But yeah, I mean, I guess we're sort of hoping he's going to make his decision during this podcast. If he does, we'll timestamp it so that you can get to that reaction in case you don't want any pre-Soto takes. I don't know. But ugh, what a stressful time. And I don't even think he's signing here, but it's still, regardless of whether he's signing here or not, there's so much at stake. Whether he's a Yankee or not is a big factor in this that people don't consider enough. Like, if the Yankees lose a player of Juan Soto's caliber, that's already almost like you gaining one because they're losing one. Not to mention that him signing elsewhere is going to start the flurry of dominoes that everyone and their mother says is coming afterward. It's just, it's about to get going.
Yeah, I feel like we're standing in front of a dam that's about to just burst and destroy everybody. I think also, obviously, it's extremely unlikely that Soto goes to the Blue Jays, but that would be sneaky a disaster for the Red Sox because one, they don't get Soto. Two, the Yankees and the Mets both don't get Soto, which means they're going to pivot hardcore. And three, Juan Soto stays in your division. So that one's super unlikely, but I feel it's underrated in terms of how bad that would be for Red Sox and Red Sox fans.
Yeah. So let's just give an update about where things stand as it stands for our present, like the recording present. Four teams around $700 million, the Red Sox included there. The Dodgers are over $600 million, but I my sense is that a lot of that money's deferred. Otherwise, I think we'd be hearing a little bit more about them as a serious contender. Multiple reports that the Red Sox are being aggressive and are still in it, but the vibe check kind of says otherwise, based off of like the Teoscar talk and the they've contacted Anthony Santander reports coming out and the general speak from the national reporters. It doesn't sound that optimistic. You had the Cotillo and McAdam report that said that their league sources say that the Sox put forth an A-plus effort and are still in it. But generally, in my opinion, when you start hearing about, hey, they put together a really good effort, you're hearing that stuff because it's probably about to come to a conclusion and it's not going to be them. So that's where things stand. I mean, if he signs with a non-New York team, I'm going to be surprised. That's where I'm at right now.
Yep. I'm still thinking Yankees. I haven't budged off that. I know they were called the third pick by some ESPN insider yesterday. I just don't buy it. I think that they are a bad team without Juan Soto, and nobody would fear them without Juan Soto. And it's also just from a brand standpoint, if you're actually the two teams that the Yankees like to call their little brothers, the Mets and then the Red Sox, those are the two teams fighting them for Juan Soto. If either of them steals him away from the Yankees, that is a bad, bad look for the ugly ass pinstripe brand, whatever you want to call it. So they are under a crazy amount of pressure. I'm trying to think if Brian Cashman has ever had this much pressure. I feel like this is, I'd go out on a limb and say this is more pressure than the Judge situation last year, because that felt like it was going to happen from the jump. Like there was an inkling of hope that maybe he'd go to the Giants, but now quickly Yankees got it done. So yeah, all the pressure in the world on the Yankees. Red Sox, not as much. It would be nice, but they've got plan B. So I'm just ready for this crap to end already.
Yeah. If the Yankees lose Soto, there is no combination of moves they can make to make up that ground. I don't care if they go get Burns, Teoscar, and trade for Bellinger. You're a better team with Juan Soto. That is a fact. And you're a better team next year and for the next 15 years, whatever he signs for. And if they don't get him, and they do, Sammy, like you said, lose out to the little brother, that's a bad look for Hal. That's a really bad look.
Legacy killer, I would say. Because he's been in his dad's shadow his entire life, and getting this done, you'd honestly have to put that to bed forever. But if it doesn't get done, and like you said, Sammy, these are his little brothers fighting him. George would never let this happen. And no. Hal does. There's nothing he can do that would ever make up for it. Championships
George,
or not.
George was like how people talk about Steve Cohen, but he actually always sealed the deal. Unlike Cohen, who's he still knew, you know, in his defense. But like that was the darkest days, the late 90s, early 2000s. Any big free agent, just don't even. He's gonna go to the Yankees. They all go to the Yankees. But yeah, man. I mean, the Red Sox in 04. Kicking the Yankees butts, little brother beats you up, and then 2024, 20 years later, the Mets have an opportunity to do something not the same level, but still kind of just a bad look for the Yankees. I can't get over like how bad brand-wise this would be for the Yankees.
So question for you guys, because I think we all expected this to be done by now when we were talking about when we would record. We had it in our heads that this was going to be done definitely by Sunday afternoon. We were thinking maybe Saturday, maybe even Friday. But there has been a quiet period. Like there was a lot of noise on Saturday. And Sunday morning, maybe a little bit of noise, but really not much. Like you haven't had any like John Heyman article drops. There just hasn't been much noise. Is the quiet, in your opinion, mixed with the fact that no teams have technically speaking been eliminated or not? And I'm sure that's more of a publicly eliminated rather than in Juan Soto's head. Oh, the Dodgers just signed Michael Conforto. That's interesting.
That's your mother.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe we'll talk some Teo later. I don't know. Wow. I forgot where I was going with that. Oh, okay. Yeah, I remember. is the quiet period that we've had, does that make you feel more optimistic or less optimistic than you were before? Because I think all three of us were not very optimistic before. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. This morning, were any of you guys optimistic at any point today?
No. I'm just ready for this to be over.
Pat, no?
No. I was a little optimistic last night after about six beers. I think I will go on record for the first time. No, I've been cautiously optimistic. I don't think we said it before. This is not an all or nothing move. I think the second Juan Soto decides, there will literally be a cascade of deals throughout the night. And I think the Hawks are going to be right in the thick of everything this week. But no. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's get back to the original question then. Does the quietness make you feel more optimistic?
Yes.
Or less? Yeah. Or the same?
Yeah. I mean, just from the standpoint of, as long as you're hearing that the Reds are, excuse me, let me go back. As long as you're not hearing that the Red Sox are out, I think that's a good thing because the number is just going to keep going up. So as long as we know they're still in it, it's a good thing. It means they're still bidding, we think. So while it hasn't made me feel more confident, I haven't felt that nail in the coffin kind of feeling yet. The closest I've gotten to that, and I think this was Friday or Saturday night, when we found out the Mets offered $730 million for Soto.
Yeah.
At that point, I was kind of like, all right, John Henry, yeah. he's not made for this, so that's it. But then, you know what? I talked myself into it. One Hector Gomez tweet is all it really takes for me. So, I'm kind of at, like, this is my low point in a while, but it's not that far off from my high point, if that makes sense.
People don't quite realize, like, people who aren't sick baseball fans the way we are don't quite realize how much shit like this, like, impacts our lives. Like, I swear to God, it is frustrating being at, like, family functions with, like, one eye on my phone, thinking that, like, the biggest news potentially of, like, biggest free agent moves news of your Red Sox fandom life is about to drop any second. It's hard. But in terms of the quiet period, it does make me feel a tiny bit more optimistic. But again, like, I went from, oh my God, they're all the way dead to, you never know. Sometimes these Boris contracts drop out of nowhere and it's someone you absolutely didn't expect. So you never know. Like, really, until it ends, you're never going to know. That's like, I'm not optimistic, but I mean, until I'm told they're out, and we have yet to be told that they're out, they're in.
Yeah, technically.
Pat, more optimistic with the quiet period, or do you not care? Do you not give a shit?
I mean, it's encouraging that there was a Cotillo article today. There was a Spear article either this morning or last night. All the Sox guys are saying they're not out, which is encouraging, but that doesn't kind of up my barometer of how likely it is. So I'm pretty stagnant in terms of confidence, but it's nice to be in this late.
Final percentages, because we're gonna talk some other stuff here. Final percentages. This is probably the last that we're gonna speak on, like, at least on, like, a topic sense of Soto before he signs. My final percentage is where it was before, 11%. I think there's about 1 in 10 outcomes has him on the Red Sox here.
Yeah, same. About like 10% right now. My high point was 20. So. Not that big of a difference, but yeah, 10.
All right, Pat, final.
I'm sticking at 20. I think the Sox are 20, Mets, Yankees are 40. I think there's no shot anyone besides those three get them.
All right, let it be said, let it be done in the words of a wise Bradfo. Those are the final Juan Soto percentages from your playtesty guys, unless some dumb fuckery happens and Scott Boras pushes this another day or two or something, which I don't. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen, but I can't put it past him at this point.
I just want the Red Sox to acquire somebody huge. Like, that hasn't happened since Manny. And I know David Price, good signing, Chris Sale, great and everything, but like a generational superstar who you have for years and years and years. Like, I so badly want them to add a guy like that. It's
just a big name, a name. Yeah, that, like, people will look at your team and be like, oh my God, look at them. I think if they got Corbin Burns, that would be that. Just as a potential pivot.
Corbin Burns
has been a top five pitcher in baseball for the last, 6 years? Five years?
Yeah, but I'm talking about like the wow factor. Like the you have to show up to see this guy. Like Corbin Burns, hardcore baseball fans be like, man, he's nasty. Look how he uses that cutter. But like
top five pitcher, dude. Come on. A top five to 10 pitcher is not a guy that you got to come out to the ballpark to see. Think what you will about how he's going to age, but as he stands today, that's a guy you come out to the
casual
ballpark
fans. I don't think casual fans are lining up to see Corbin Burns. I think they'll go nuts for a guy like Fernando Tatis Jr. or even Vlad, who I wouldn't put in the same, like, you know, superstar. He's amazing. He's perfect category, but he hits 45 home runs. He's got long hair. His name is Vlad Guerrero. You recognize the name from growing up. Someone like that. Soto, obviously. Judge, not going to happen. But like someone like that, that's just like primetime TV. Like that 1 year with Sale in 2017 where you could not miss a start because it was the most electric thing you've seen. We had that for 1 year. And it's just like, and I love Devers, but he's not that guy. He's quiet. He keeps to himself. I need a motherfucker.
Those guys don't come around. It's tough. Like, yes, we had one, or I shouldn't say have one this year currently in Soto. And next year, you're going to have one in Vlad if he doesn't sign an extension. But yeah, outside of those guys, like, so many of these megastars get extended. And obviously, it's so hard to build a megastar. Like, these guys don't come around every so often. By the way, update, Ken Rosenthal says Dodgers are still in on Teoscar Hernandez despite signing Michael Conforto. Conforto is a left-handed hitter, and Teoscar, obviously, a right-handed hitter. But do we... Because so much has happened, and, like, how do we feel about the fact that a couple of pivot guys are off the board, too? Like, do we think the Red Sox, like, a potential... Like, the three of us weren't that in on Adames. Like, are we all in agreement that we're happy that they didn't sign a $182 million contract for him? Yes. I don't... I wouldn't have loved that.
I'm not like happy, but like I just don't care. I think he would have been good. If Adames signed with the Red Sox, we all would have talked ourselves into it, and then he would have hit 25 home runs, been a good defender, and he's swaggy. We would have liked him, but yeah, probably not the right guy to go for right now for the Red Sox.
Yeah. I didn't want them to sign Adames, and then 182 for a guy who's not a great contact hitter. Sure, he has great power, really good defender, but he can't hit left pitching, which on the offseason we said a frontline starter and a guy hit lefties. That wasn't really Adames. I think we talked about it early November. It doesn't crush me. Is it concerning that these options are kind of dwindling? I mean, maybe a little bit, but I'm not crushed they didn't get Adames.
Who's left right now? Santander, Teoscar, free agent.
In terms of what? Like right-handed bats?
Like replacing O'Neill.
Bregman.
Oh, yeah. Bregman. I'm not even like considering him.
Arenado on the market.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trade-wise. Yeah. Like trade-wise, there's more options. You can go Suzuki, Arenado. Yeah. There's another name I was thinking today that, Lubob you could do. So, yeah, more options in the trade market.
No more Tyler O'Neill, who I would have. And I'll say this about the Tyler O'Neill thing. At this stage, now that it looks like the Red Sox probably aren't getting Juan Soto, looking at the contract that he got, I'm a little bit back on and I never really jumped off of it, but I kind of stopped harping it because it kind of looked like it made a little bit of sense for a Soto pursuit. But it's going to look tough that they didn't give him the qualifying offer because, like we're saying right here, there aren't a lot of good options. And I just... It's like, unless you want to commit to Teoscar or Santander as your long-term kind of outfield DH kind of guy. And I personally don't love the idea of committing long-term to someone who stops me from pursuing Vlad Guerrero in a year. So unless you're going to sign a deal that's like, if they sign Teoscar to like a 3-year deal where, you know, 50% of the money is paid in the first year and then he has an opt out, like it gets a little bit tougher to pursue a guy like Vlad without trading Tristan Casas if you do that. So now that Tyler O'Neill isn't here on a 1-year deal, if it's not Juan Soto, like if you are going to fish in the deep end for that next big guy, you're almost guaranteeing you have to trade a guy who we all think could be maybe the Red Sox best hitter next year in Tristan Casas.
Yeah. It's just like, it sounds bad, but we're not even talking about who they'd get in return. So I think it'd be painful in the moment, but like you bring back for example, let's just say like Logan Gilbert for a guy like Casas, and you had Vlad, like I don't think people will be upset.
Well, that I think that that's, we had the Alex Spear article come out, and it was all about Tristan Casas, and you know, he was at the Woo Sox gala this weekend, and he was talking about, you know, the trade rumors. He said that the team that gets Juan Soto is going to be the World Series favorite for the next freaking decade. Like, but Spear also said that the Red Sox offered Tristan Casas as a headlining piece in a trade for a pitcher, and it got rejected. And to me, if Tristan Casas was offered in a trade for a pitcher and it was rejected, I literally can't imagine who else it could possibly be besides George Kirby or Logan Gilbert. Like, who else could it be?
Scooball?
Like, I don't maybe, think, I know, like, I know are you, they even trying? Are they trying?
I know you wouldn't do that move, like the Scooball for Casas, but I think the Tigers would
shut it down fast.
Yeah, Tigers would say no, is what I'm trying to say, is because Scooball is like, you know, a freak.
But the Sox wouldn't even offer it because it's like they know that Scooball's not getting traded. Like, the Pirates aren't trading Skeens, so the Red Sox definitely didn't offer Casas for Skeens.
I don't know, man.
So, like, who else could get traded that they could have offered it for?
Maybe they asked the Marlins for Sandy and they said no, because I heard he's off limits.
Oh, if the Marlins said no to that, they're batshit crazy.
Well, then
agreed.
No, because I was going to say Zach Gallen, but he's up at the end.
Yeah, just a rental.
Yeah. So. Man, I don't know. That's Jared Jones, maybe?
Maybe. That's a maybe. I wouldn't love it if they did that. Oh my God. Conforto got 1 year, 17 mil.
Yeah, of course.
I'm sure like half of it's deferred, but still, I mean, he wasn't very good last year.
That's less than Yoshida.
Yeah, but they were expecting Yoshida to be great.
What happened? No, 1 year, 17 mil. Great. We're always surprised. Why are we surprised? It's 2024. Next year, it's going to be 1 year, 20 mil for the Michael Conforto of free agency. It's always, oh man, I want to get in on these friggin' moves. Not Conforto, but like the friggin' big ones. Red Sox fan, I haven't. When was the last time we were like fired up over a move the Red Sox made? It's Price. Been like who?
Price, Dave. Price.
No, Pat, come on. They got Sale after Price.
I was way more pumped for Price than I was Sale.
But we were pumped for both. Is the point? Like,
yeah.
I was kind of pumped for Story, but even though I didn't love him as a free agent, I was just pumped that they did something.
Yeah, like, that was kind of.
Got to go beyond that.
I remember Copeland being like, "Oh, but his elbow. I think he'll be good at second, and like they have Meyer, so maybe it's a good." I remember saying that to myself. Maybe it's a good thing that his elbow's fucked up. How stupid is that?
I talked
myself into that.
The way to phrase this is: when was the last time we were genuinely pumped? And it wasn't like because you just wanted to see them make a move. Like, right. It was actually like, because you were thrilled about the guy you were getting. Is it JD? Like, I wasn't like stoked about JD. I was excited, but it wasn't like.
Probably JD for me, because I really liked him. I thought he was a stud when they got him. I thought that was like the piece of the puzzle. Because if you remember the year before, that Red Sox team was really good, but they had just lost Big Poppy. Mm-hmm. And they just, the middle of the order was like, meh, wasn't scaring anyone. So I figured JD was like the perfect piece. But still, even that was like they waited him out because they knew his market was thin based on the position. And like Stanton was that year. So the Yankees were out because they already took Stanton. Just a lot was going on. I'm trying to think the last time the Red Sox made a move and I had that feeling where your heart drops in a good way. And you're like, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. And I think it really is Sale, which sucks.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while. And I don't know what other, like, maybe we have differing opinions here, because if I saw that the Red Sox, and we can talk a little bit about, you know, maybe where they can go if they don't sign Soto here. If they signed Corbin Burns, that would do that for me. Max Fried, I like too, but it feels maybe a little bit more Copey than Burns. No. Obviously, Vlad does it. Vlad does it if it's signing him. If it's a 1 year rental thing and you don't know if he's signed, I'd be excited, but I'd be like holding a gate up because I know that there's a chance that he just does what Soto's doing and maybe leaves after a year.
But for me, it's Crochet, because he's a guy who I think is going to be the 2025 version of Tarek Skubal, where they just become, you know, from a good pitcher with a lot of upside to a legit number one. That's who I think Garrett Crochet is going to be. And I've been yapping about him for since August, I think. So I'm balls deep on the Crochet to Boston trade. So that one would,
that's a good one. That's a good one, Sammy. And yeah. And let's talk about that, because we kind of had conflicting reports today as we're recording. You had the Chris Cotillo tweet that said that the Red Sox have been kind of on the periphery of those discussions and not the aggressors. And teams like the Reds are maybe a little bit more likely for him. And he listed the Yankees as in there too. Interesting to see them pop up and not necessarily like a team like the Cubs, who maybe we've heard some rumblings about the last week or so. But then John Morosi comes out maybe 2 hours later and says, yeah, you know, the Red Sox have this guy in Marcelo Meyer that they're a little bit more open to dealing in a trade package for Garrett Crochet than they previously were. So it's kind of conflicting reports here, because if the Sox are willing to include Marcelo Meyer, like that's something that would get you right to the forefront of the talks. And my theory on this, and I agree with you, Sammy, if they got Garrett Crochet, that is a heart-stopping trade. But my theory is that might be the move only, at least in their eyes, not what I would do. He would be my primary target, but maybe for them, it's more of a, if we sign Soto and we've now committed like $45 to $50 million a year, like this is how we get a guy who's only making a few mil, get him in cheap money-wise, obviously not prospect-wise. And then if you don't sign Soto, maybe you don't trade the prospects. Maybe you pay the money to get a Max Fried or a Corbin Burns. But yeah, I agree. Crochet is that heart-stopping guy. But what do you guys think about the conflicting reports? Like, where do you lie in there? Because nothing against either of these guys, but I tend to side with Cotillo on this one. It's kind of felt like it's been going in that direction. The Morosi one to me kind of felt like from the White Sox, like just so you know, like they're offering Meyer, like, hey, Reds, whatever you're offering, it's got to beat Meyer. That's why I see it.
I mean, I hope Morosi's right. If the Red Sox aren't willing to give up Marcelo Meyer for a guy like Garrett Crochet, who you get on a rookie deal for 2 years, by the way, I don't know what to tell you. It's so just like, I'm so unbelievably fucking sick of doing the same song and dance where it's like, oh, we want this guy, but we're not willing to give up this fucking prospect. It's so tiring. So, oh, by the way, if you're into the MLB trade value machine, you'll never guess who has more value between Meyer and Crochet. You guys want to take a wild guess?
I think I saw this already, so I'll defer to Pat.
Trick question, exact same value. Yeah. On the tee. So, like, they can't keep every single prospect. And I don't think they will. It's December 8th as we're recording. December 9th as we drop this episode. Unless we drop it really late tonight. And, like, it feels like they have to move one of these guys. You only have so many roster spots. So, if they're not going to do Meyer for a Crochet, I don't know what the hell they're going to do.
Okay, that's interesting. Because I feel like we've kind of gone up and down on this. And my stance on the Meyer, on including Meyer in a deal like that, has always kind of been, if they don't pay one of the big guys, and Blake Snell is already off the board, the other two big guys in free agency are Burns and Fried, and then there's a nice little drop-off after that. If they don't get those two guys, I think I would sooner trade Meyer for Crochet than make like a Jack Flaherty my number one, or trade legitimate prospect capital for Luis Castillo, who I really like, but... Nah. I just want that guy on the up and up. But I would rather, I think, pay one of Fried or Burns than trade Meyer. But if I had to, I would do it, if that makes sense. Like, it's not both. My first choice to trade him.
Do both. Do both of those guys. Get sign one of them, trade for Crochet. All of a sudden, you have a great rotation. Sign Teoscar. And then all of a sudden, you don't really care that you lost out on Juan Soto, because you're probably the best team in the AL East now.
So if you got, let's say the Red Sox signed Corbin Burns.
Love
you
it.
Would still trade Marcelo Meyer for Garrett Crochet, even though you already have a rotation with five legitimately good big league starters.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because yeah. five legitimate major league starters is great, but none of the best teams win like that. Like, even the Dodgers, who were banged up and had to use a bullpen game, the guys they were putting out there, the starters who weren't hurt, dogs. And the Red Sox right now, as it stands, and this could change, the only guy who I might put in that category is Tanner Houck. obviously a lot of upside. Brian Bayo keeps getting better. Cutter keeps getting better. Lucas Giolito, a guy who's gotten Cy Young votes before, he's coming back. Who knows? So you add not one, but two legit frontline arms to that. It's a good ass team.
Yeah. I hesitate on the trading Meyer if they don't, like, if they sign Soto, I would be so open to it, because you're already in a position where you need to trade a lefty bat. And honestly, I'd probably prefer it be a lefty outfield bat and Willier Abreu, but you're already in a position where you need to trade one lefty bat. If you sign Soto, you definitely got to trade probably two. So I'm way more open to it there. I'm a little bit more hesitant if they don't sign Soto, they get the right-handed bat to balance the lineup, and they get an ace, especially if it's Fried, who's already a lefty. If it's Burns and you've got a rotation full of righties, you can make the argument you still need that big-time lefty in the rotation. Pat, where are you at on this?
I'm with Sam, because I think I said it for weeks now. If they lose out on Soto, I do think it's just because they've been so inactive over the past couple of years that they just haven't really built a really, really good contending foundation. So Soto's kind of coming in, just taking their word for they'll be a little more serious, add some pieces. This is your chance to do the opposite. If you go out and you sign Burns and you trade for Crochet, this time next year when Vlad's a free agent, you are one piece away. Vlad plugs that hole, you're on the ground running. There's no, if you sign, we'll do this and we'll try and do this. If you set that pitching side this year and then address the offense in the big way next year, it's a much easier sell to Vlad than it was Soto.
And then the other thing, obviously, is you have, unless you traded Cutter or whatever, like, you'd have six starters, which obviously can kind of be tough to juggle if they're all healthy. But we saw so many times last year, and forget which one he used, the Dodgers. Sammy just used the Dodgers as an example. I used the Dodgers as an example again. The reason they were able to have horses pitching starting games in the playoffs is because they had like 10 big league caliber starters on that roster, so that when their entire team went down, they were still able to win the World Series. You do want to be in a spot where you've got depth starters that you're confident in starting. And I think they feel good about guys like Priester and Fitz and maybe Criswell in those roles. But if you have six legitimate guys, like if they acquired an ace and then also traded for an ace, they got Burns and Crochet or Fried and Crochet or whatever, that would give you six guys. It's a little hard to juggle. That's kind of why I was into the Shane Bieber ideas, because by the time he comes back, guys are going to need a break or guys are going to be hurt. It would have been perfect. And he's a guy that, you know, Robert Murray reported and Chris Cotillo confirmed that the Red Sox were heavy after him. They made a really aggressive pursuit. You have to respect him staying with the Guardians, where he's already, you know, about halfway, maybe a little bit more through his rehab. It's a little bit tough to change medical personnel, but if there was ever a team that could convince someone to do it, the Red Sox have a very well-renowned medical staff. I thought maybe they would have a shot at this. I was actually, a lot of people are shitting on the people who were disappointed that Bieber signed elsewhere. I was actually pretty disappointed about that one. I don't want to say I expected him to come to Boston, but I had my hopes up for that. And I think he would have been a great fit, especially with what we saw last year from guys like Houck and Cutter when they started to burn out, and obviously guys get hurt. I think he would have been a perfect fit, would have loved the city, perfect opportunity to get a guy in here. And if he pitches well, give him a qualifying offer after the year, similar to the kind of hope that you have right now with Giolito. I just think it would have been a really good fit. I was more disappointed, I think, than most on this one.
Yeah, I wasn't like disappointed is a weird way to look at it. If it were midway through January and a lot more guys were off the board already, then I'd be disappointed. But there's so many other options. And like Bieber, we all like the idea of Bieber, but he wasn't high up on our list. I mean, at least for me, he wasn't high up on my list. He was a guy who I looked at as, hey, if they only get one starting pitcher, you could get Bieber as well. And then maybe he comes back towards the end of the season, kind of like Walker Buehler did for the Dodgers. And that worked out well. He threw the last pitch in the season. So, I wasn't disappointed, but, you know, would have been nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think Shane Bieber is just always going to get that 1+1. And if he's betting on himself, why bet on yourself anywhere else when you've succeeded for the past 6-7 years? It was always going to be a 1+1. If he comes up to Fenway, he comes here, new ballpark, it's a risk financially. For him, taking a little bit less to stay where he's been incredibly successful to opt out at the end of the year, Yes, I like the idea of Bieber, but from like a business perspective, I don't think there's a really a chance he was gonna leave Cleveland if as long as they gave him a decently competitive offer.
Pat, isn't Cleveland like a big medical city as well? I figured you would know better than I would.
A little bit, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
I mean, I don't blame him at all for staying. And now that it happened, it almost feels like silly that I ever hoped he would leave. But again, like I just have that much. The Red Sox have attracted these guys for years now. The reason I was so into it was kind of like I expect them to get the number one guy. It's not like I was into Shane Bieber as the pitching addition. The reason I liked it is because getting Bieber on a 1-year deal, and obviously he's not going to pitch the full season, but it allows you to get a sixth guy, a depth guy who you know is going to be good. Whereas now, like if they want to do that, now you're paying prospect value and or financial value to have six starters on your roster. And if they're all healthy, it's like, okay, what are we going to do with this guy? Whereas Shane Bieber, it's like you would only have to invest a year and you would know that by the time he's back, you're going to be able to use him how he probably should be used, which is to spell guys or replace injuries. If they get Burns and Crochet, there's a good chance you're going to run in. And obviously, it's a good problem if you have six healthy starters that are all really good. But you're going to run into that issue and you're going to have to have paid the price for these guys as full-time starters. And you're gonna probably be wasting a guy like Cutter Crawford in the bullpen if that's what it turned to.
Oh, no, I think you move Cutter. He's too good to be in the bullpen. He proved himself 100% last year, in my opinion, as not as a top of the line guy, but as a back end starting pitcher on a major league team. So I think if the Red Sox do hypothetically get a Burns or Fried and then trade for a guy like Crochet or even someone else, I think that bumps Cutter out of the rotation because you already have ample depth in AAA with Fitz, Priester, Criswell. So I think you end up moving Cutter. I don't know what for.
Maybe well, that's what like I was going to ask you. That's a good thought, Sammy. Because originally we thought in the Crochet drill.
Yeah.
But it's like what are you going to trade Cutter Cross? Like if the Crochet deal is Marcelo and like maybe like filler in the back of the farm system for Crochet. And so yeah, what does Cutter Crawford get you in that case? I don't know.
How much control? What, like four more years?
Four.
Would you do Cutter Crawford for Ryan Helsley at that point?
No. I'm not trading Cutter for a rental reliever.
Nah. If Helsley had 2 years, what if you went really nuts and you did like Willier, Cutter, Cespedes for Mason Miller?
I'm out on that too. I don't like trading. I don't want. I'm never in favor of trading big prospect capital for relievers.
That's fair. I can't even get mad about that. I know it's Mason Miller. We get mesmerized by the like 200 mile an hour fastball, but like
he's also an injury waiting to happen.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, he's a reliever. He's only throwing 20 pitches a night. So
yeah, but that elbow history is just not good. It's not.
I don't know who the hell do you get like for Cutter. I think they'd probably move him for.
It might be prospects. Yeah, I think you're probably right, Sammy. But it's like you already have such a deep system. It's like. Are you really trading Cutter for prospects and then a pitcher's going to get hurt and you're going to reallocate those prospects for pitching at the deadline? Like maybe that might be the move. I don't know.
I mean, is he a piece in a Saya Suzuki trade?
That's a good point.
That's actually interesting. Who do you guys think has more value? Cutter Crawford with 4 years of control, but it's like his rookie deal and then he's going to go to arbitration. Or say a Suzuki who has 2 years at 17 or 18 million a year. Like I think Cutter probably has more value, but maybe that's something you just bite the bullet on. Cause I really like I don't think they're going to trade Suzuki. I've seen that report about Suzuki or Bellinger. I think they end up just trading Bellinger. But if Suzuki's on the table, I really like that idea. I like Suzuki. I think they've had interest in him in the past. It's a 2-year commitment for a guy who fits the roster well. Good right-handed bat with some pop. I like that idea.
What if a team you could also attach Yoshida to Cutter to make That's a team a be enticed to take him, but that would have to be the perfect situation. I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot of options with him. But I like the idea of two guys and then you move Cutter. Now there's no scenario where I would move Hauk or Bayo, especially Bayo. Bayo you'd be selling way too low on. And Hauk I really like. So and you can't trade Giolito either. So yeah, probably Cutter. We love Cutter, but We like winning.
Yep. Okay, before we get to enough said, we gotta talk quick pivots here. There's two obvious pivots that the Red Sox have interest in right now if they don't sign Juan Soto, which 9:50 p.m. on recording night, we still have not heard. Teoscar Hernandez, Anthony Santander. It seems like, and honestly, Mark Feinstein reported it, so you can pretty confidently say it. They have more interest right now in Teoscar Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
But in the Teoscar versus Santander, so first off, if the money is equal, who do you prefer?
If the money's equal,
which it won't be. Santander is going to get more.
I'd probably go Santander if the money's equal, but I continue. I mean,
okay. I would also say Santander. Pat, if you're saying Teoscar, are you saying Teoscar? Because if you are, then this will be a question for Sammy.
Yeah, I'm saying Teoscar.
Okay. Sammy, what is the financial gap that's going to switch you from Santander to Teoscar? Like, where does that switch occur?
I don't really. It's more years, honestly.
Okay, where's the year gap then? That's a good way to put it.
I honestly wouldn't want Santander for more than 4 years.
Okay, so what if you were presented for Santander 4 years, 85 or 4 years, 84, so 21 a year, versus Teoscar 3 years?
I think four 100 because we just saw Conforto get $17 million for doing nothing. Yoshida.
No, I know he's gonna top 100. I'm just trying to find a place. Like I'm trying to find the gap. Like,
okay,
if it's 4 years, 84 versus Teoscar, 3 years, 61. So it's literally just the fourth year. That's the only difference.
Yeah, Teoscar. I'd rather Teoscar. I don't think the gap.
I think I would too.
The gap between the player isn't big enough for me to want the Red Sox to take an entire extra year into these guys. And with position players, I think short term, unless you're talking about a guy like Juan Soto, but with these very good but not great guys like Teoscar and Santander, I think short-term is almost always better for the Red Sox with the rate that they just churn out these bats. Like you look right now, Anthony, Campbell, Meyer, Teal, Montgomery coming up, Arias. It just goes on and on and on. They have no problem sending out big league bats from the system. So, I would go Teo because I think he'll cost less in terms of money and, more importantly, years. Also, vibes. Great vibes guy.
Big vibe guy. Pat, I want to give you the chance to give your argument for Teoscar, but before you do, I do want to give I don't even want to present it as my argument for Santander, because with what they're going to cost, my preference is definitely going to be Teoscar. But the reason I prefer Santander as a player here, doesn't strike out as much, not by a long shot, switch hitter who hits relatively well from both sides, 40 plus homer. I don't want to say potential because he literally hit 44 homers last year. And he's 2 years younger. So that's the argument there. The obvious elephant in the room is the swing profile with Teoscar is built for Fenway and Santander is not. Pat, what else do you have that gives you so much confidence that you just all out prefer Teoscar?
Santander is a switch hitter, yes. He is worse at hitting left-handed pitching, which the Red Sox desperately need. He's a low guy. Don't get me wrong. Teo strikes out a ton. He doesn't walk. Like, there's definite pros and cons to both of these guys. Santander this year, in a year, he hit 4 home runs. 794 OPS against Teo, 931 against lefties. That is what the Red Sox need.
Yes, sir. Yes. I also don't think – I don't know if I buy Santander's – we'll call it a breakout season – because the year before, he had 28 home runs. The year before that, 33. And this year, 2024, he hits 44, which is just, that's a ton. He slugged 5 or 6.
What was his OPS in 2020, if you have it in front of you?
In 2020?
Because 2020, I feel like I remember him being really good, but he obviously the shortened season, so he's not going to have a ton of homers.
Let me look. But hold on. Before I get to that, I think part of the thing that scares me with Santander is he doesn't really barrel the ball. A lot of his home runs kind of snuck out, and I don't know, and I don't want to be like, oh, he got lucky, but he chases a lot. He doesn't hit the ball in the sweet spot. He doesn't launch it very well. He's not hitting it hard. He doesn't feel like a guy you can count on to repeat the season we just saw 2, 3, 4 times. So I don't know. I think he's good. I think he's better player than Teoscar Hernandez overall. Plays a little outfield, plays a little first, but reliability wise, I think I'd rather go with the guy like Teoscar where I know exactly what I'm getting.
That's the key for me. Is, and by the way, the OPS in 2020 was 890. That was his best year from like a percentages standpoint, obviously not counting stats. But the reason I would add, and obviously both have the pick attached, so it's not even like you make the argument based off of like one guy has the pick, one guy doesn't. But with Teo, I think you can confidently say like this guy is going to produce, I don't want to say at least because he's obviously a year older, but you would hope for at least the production from last year he would get at Fenway Park, obviously a better ballpark for his swing and obviously his spray chart than Dodger Stadium. Santander, I agree with you, Sammy. I mean, he benefited greatly from that short right field porch in Baltimore. I think he's a better overall player, but that's a guy who screams he's about to get $100 million from the Blue Jays. I would rather pay Teoscar 65, 70. I still would have preferred paying O'Neill the qualifying offer to that.
The Blue Jays, you said, you think?
That's what I think.
I feel the Blue Jays are like...
they're going to get stupid with it.
The Blue Jays are like, if you guys have ever had a friend who, like, let's say they're like going on a date or going to a job interview and they just dress like complete shit. And you're like, dude, like, you got to switch your outfit. You look terrible. Your hair is a mess. You like get over it. And they're like, no, I'm fine. I'm doing fine. That's the Blue Jays. They have a awful major league team. All their good players are on expiring deals and they have nothing in the farm system. They absolutely suck. So I don't know why they would sign Anthony Santander, but Gordo, I don't even disagree with you. I could totally see them doing that. Would make no sense. They'd win 79 games instead of 75. Sick. Congrats. And then they'd have a bloated contract for Santander for the next 5 years. Congrats, Blue Jays.
I think my favorite quote so far of the offseason, Gordo, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it was Robert Murray. He heard from like a pretty good source that the Blue Jays are ready to do something, quote, big, dumb, and stupid.
Yeah.
And that just screams Anthony Santander to me. That just screams Anthony Santander.
Here's what I would do. And honestly, maybe the biggest reason that I prefer Teoscar, and I'm just, the white whale thing is so real with me. He's tight with Vlad. Like, it's not even just their former teammates. He's tight with Vlad. So what I would do is give him a front-loaded deal with an opt-out after the first year, and you kind of benefit either way because after the first year, the contract value AAV goes down, and if he opts in, great. He recruits Vlad. You obviously, money talks the most, but you send him out there to recruit Vlad, who has already been liking pictures of himself photoshopped into Red Sox gear, and if he opts out, then... wow, you have all that extra money. You know, you got other guys coming off the books. Giolito's coming off the books. Obviously, Aroldis Chapman's only a one-year deal. Like, you'll have money to play with, especially if they don't sign Soto. The left-handed reliever that they got, that guy.
Oh, Red Sox pitcher.
Red Sox lefty.
Pitcher number 44.
Yeah. Pat?
I have a name that somehow has not come up yet. Why is no one talking about Jurickson Profar?
Oh, Loomer is.
I'll give you why I'm not that big on Profar.
He's a monster.
I think the Red Sox need a guy with power for that spot.
He popped out 24 this year in San Diego.
But yeah, he did, but that was obviously a career year. He's not known for his like big time power. Like you're replacing. Yes, they need to be a better contact team, but they need that power hitter, that power right-handed bat to back Devers up.
I don't. When you say power, do you mean like? Do you mean home runs? Because when I say power, I also mean like doubles and shit, like hitting the ball off the wall. I think
Both.
I feel like that's the move at Fenway. Of course, they had the, you know, Ortiz and Manny and everything, but like everyone else, like Bogarts, Mookie, lots of doubles, Duran, lots of doubles with the Red Sox. I think Profar would be good, but isn't he like 31 years old?
Dude, the last 3 years, yeah, he's 31. Been over 85th percentile in K rate and walk rate. That's great.
No, I mean, it's great, and he's versatile, which obviously the Red Sox value a ton, especially as they're producing prospects. I mean, everyone in their farm system plays multiple positions. This is something that they value a ton. I just want a guy with power. If they want to get two bats, great, but like I need a right-handed bat who I go into the season with a pretty solid expectation that he can hit 30 home runs. That's what I need.
I'd rather a guy with like crazy high OBP and put him between Devers and Costas and let them hit the 20 to 40 home runs. I mean, great if you get a guy with power as well, of course, even better. But like, I'm looking at the lineup right now, Duran, and then you have Devers. Then you need your righty in there. That's why I don't hate Nolan Arenado. Doesn't strike out, hits a lot of doubles, not as many home runs as he used to, only like 16 last year. But then you have Casas, then you have Story, blah, 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 blah. So I just whoever hits between Devers and Casas is going to see a lot of good pitches.
You got to remember, though, like remember how the Red Sox got attacked, especially in the later innings of games this year. Even when Casas was out, because obviously the Red Sox lineup is so stacked with lefties, they would throw a left-hander in for the Duran, Devers, Casas, whatever portion of the top of the order. And obviously those guys are worse against lefties. So you need to have a right-handed hitter in there that can take advantage of those at-bats because he's going to get a lot of them. You're going to get a lot of at-bats late in games against lefties when teams attack the Red Sox with their best left-handed arm. I want a guy who can cash in on those at-bats as much as possible. Power against left-handed pitching. It's why Teoscar's such a good fit.
Yeah, and Suzuki too. I like Seiya Suzuki. He hits righties well, too. He actually hits righties better than he hits lefties, but he still hits lefties at like an 830 OPS clip. So he would be great. I think he's...
Is he better defensively than Masataki Yoshida? I mean, it can't be worse, but...
Yeah, yeah.
You're better defensively than Masataki Yoshida.
He's not a good defender, but he's got a nuke. He's kind of like a Hunter Renfro defensively. Like, not doesn't have great range, but he'll make a bazooka throw once in a while. I think he'd be in that DH corner outfield rotation role kind of thing, where sometimes he's playing left, Rafaela gets a day off or plays somewhere else, Duran shifts the center. But yeah, I like Seiya if the Cubs are willing to move him. It's a tough fit, man. We need someone who doesn't strike out, and there aren't many of those guys nowadays. I think that's why they didn't bring back O'Neill, by the way, is because of the strikeouts.
The Seiya thing is like if you could have Tyler O'Neill on a 2-year deal. It's because it's expensive. He probably is going to get hurt. Like they have kind of similar profiles.
Yeah. Yeah. Could see that. O'Neill's more 3 true outcome E and Seiya's more. I think I'd rather Seiya in like a one year scenario. I know it's not that scenario, but I think I'd rather him. I don't know. They gotta get creative. Try to think like the bad teams around the league are so bad with this new playoff format because the middle teams are not as bad. The top teams are still really good. And then the bottom teams in the league are like bad, bad. White Sox, A's, Marlins. They got nobody who you'd even be like, oh, he could be a piece.
Well, okay, I'll give you one piece from one of those teams you just said, and then we have to get to enough said because we've been riding, hoping that this news is going to break, and it's just not. Luis Robert, we've talked about him a little bit. We've been up and down on him. A little bit of swing and missing, not a ton of OBP, but obviously power from the right side. Can play some defense when he's out there. Gets hurt a lot too. A guy that I like, but based off of the ask, seems a little high. But then they're determined to move him. I don't know. I like the guy. I would trade for him. I'd be happy with it. But so I don't know. It depends on the
2023 Lou Bob, 857 OPS, 20 stolen bases, 38 home runs in 596 plate appearances. And then last year, 425 plate appearances. So that's about 150, more than that, plate appearances down. Only 14 home runs. So that's a difference of 24. He actually stole 3 more bases. So that's good. And the OPS is down 200 points. So yeah, Lou Bob, I would like Lou Bob, but I would only like that at the lowest trade value.
Pat, give us your take on Lou Bob, and then we'll go to Enough Said.
It comes down to the price on him. I think they're valuing him like 2023 Lou Bob. And then I'm sure some of his like not good play this year is attributed to just not being emotionally there with the worst team in MLB history. But at the same time, it's if the price is the same as it was a year ago today, the answer is no. You do not make that trade.
All right, let's get to some Enough Said before we get on out of here. Programming wise, if Soto signs, like we'll have an episode for that. If it's tonight, it may not be for. If it's the Red Sox, obviously we'll uproot our lives. If it's not the Red Sox, like it'll probably be a little bit later. But my Enough Said. Happy trails to Danny Jansen, Red Sox Legend played two games in, or wait, what was it? He played for both teams in the same game. There we go. Played for both teams in the same game. Really doesn't like when his teammates don't shower with shower shoes. Thank you, Danny Jansen, for your time.
Danny Jansen will not have athlete's foot. He's got clean feet. Nope.
Yeah.
Yo, if you're into feet, Danny Jansen's your guy. You're
that
welcome.
That is your man.
Yep. Cleanest feet in the business. Look. All right, I'll go. Want to give a shout out to a friend of the program, Sean Palmer. He did a collab with, let me get the name, Wade and Williamson. He made this custom jersey that I'm wearing right now. Joe, if you can put me front and center, if that's possible, so I could show off the jersey. Nope, that's Pat.
That would be
Check it out. So Dunkin' Donuts style. Can't use the word Dunkin', of course, because copyright and stuff. So it's called the Boston Bean Party jersey. You got the Red Sox font on the front, pink, orange, and then I had, this is custom, the Dunkin' patch. I got this from a woman in Singapore who makes custom patches for $5. Thank you if you're listening, if you're a Red Sox fan. So yeah, shout out to Sean Palmer and Wade and Williamson. Awesome jersey. Just got it a few days ago. Got the patch on. I love it. Fits great. So yeah, I encourage everyone to go buy one. And then I believe he also is dropping a great molasses flood jersey, which is really creative. I think it's like a newspaper cover for the front of the jersey. So yeah, great work, Sean. Boston Bean Party jersey. Go get one. See him at Fenway.
Pat, anything?
Pretty easy. I'm ready for some fireworks. Hopefully we have some stuff to talk about next time.
Happy winter meetings, baby.
Yeah, I talked to you guys in like 20 minutes when we got to come back here and record in an emergency pod.
Yeah, I can't wait.
We do it in an emergency pod if Soto signs with anyone other than the Red Sox, or do you want to just...
Yeah.
I think if he doesn't sign with the Red Sox, we find a time that we're all free tomorrow and just jump back on here.
Okay.
Because like... Okay. It's
that
like...
Means if Juan Soto signs with another team... And the Red Sox have their plan B move like lined up, then yes.
Oh yeah, like if Soto signs with the Yankees and then the Red Sox 15 minutes later sign Corbin Burns, like happy, like all aboard, we're getting back on here. Like
Yeah.
Just call me. If I'm not answering, just call me nonstop.
I like that. Same to I'm not keeping my phone on do not. I usually sleep with my phone on do not disturb. I think winter meetings.
What do you? I think I've never slept with my phone not on Do Not Disturb. It's always silent. Actually, my phone is on silent.
Really?
75% of the day. Yeah.
Wow. No, yeah. I keep my phone on vibrate all the time, and I usually am able to sleep through it. I actually, you're gonna think this is crazy. I've had my Twitter comment notifications and retweet notifications on until like literally a couple days ago. Yeah, it got to be too much. I had to turn them off.
What?
My phone used to get so warm I'd have to like put it in the freezer.
Yeah, I have notifications off for everything other than work stuff and texts. And I have almost every group chat I'm in muted, and then no social media notifications. I have to unplug.
That's healthy.
Can't stand it.
That is healthy. I am unhealthy.
I'm the old guy in the group doing old guy shit.
Wait a minute, Sammy, what's your birthday?
1 hour and 52 minutes from now.
Oh, no, we should have had this thing. We should have had this recording at like 11:30.
Purposely didn't tell you guys until it was too late.
I knew it was early December. Oh, damn, man. Sammy,
I gotta tell you, 4 decades flies like that.
You talking about since he was 10, Pat?
Dude, it's so weird. It's so like, when you turn 30, you got to be careful who you say shit to, because people be like, oh, you think that's old? You have no idea. And I'm like, all right, I was half joking. I know it's not that old.
Oh, I ran into that. I ran into that this weekend. I told my wife's brother that he was getting old because he turned 26, and her like 55-year-old aunt and 42-year-old cousin were standing right there, and they were like, fuck you. Like,
wait, how old did you turn on the first?
28.
Okay, so you still got two left.
Yeah, I got 2 years until our Gordo turns 30 podcast.
Yeah, we're not doing a Sammy turns 30 podcast, I'll tell you that much, but
I bet we are, Sammy. You're going to get a nice little happy birthday. Joe, we need to get a happy birthday song ready to go for Sammy.
Joe's
and make
mad
sure
at
it's like sung by an old man, too.
Joe's putting rap in all caps in the chat. We're almost at an hour. All right.
All right. Let's get out of here.
Get us out of here, Gordon.
Yeah, let's get out.
Get ready for Juan Soto to sign as, oh my God, he actually did. It's over.
Shut up, Gordon.
Joe, play the horn. I'm serious. Joe, play the horn. Breaking news. Breaking news.
Juan Damn, it's Soto not the Red
Sox. Has agreed to a contract with the New York Mets. 15 years, $765 million.
Who broke it?
And Aspen.
John Heyman broke it.
Oh, man. The Yankees are dead. Oh, wow. Man. Well, that's boring. Guess it's good.
And just for the record, that's a win for me and Pat, because I believe we both said Mets.
I said Mets, too. Okay. I'm so mad. I literally said it was going to happen during the outro, and that's exactly what happened. I mean, where do we even... Shit.
Well, this is... We sleep on it. We recap tomorrow. We move onward.
I can't just, like...
I honestly don't care that much. I'm ready for the Red Sox to do something. The Yankees franchise is basically dead.
Beyond average Mick, the fraud, quote tweeted the signing. He said, that's not good.
what a fucking bastard. Loser, man. Fucking loser.
All right. What a depressing way to end this episode.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's not the Yankees. Wow. Yeah. All right, cool.
Out of the division.
It's not the Yankees, but guess what? Like now you got to worry about your pivots. Like now how do the Yankees pivot from this? Like they go to what? Max Fried, Pete Alonso. Like they're probably not going after Pete Alonso. They don't need a right hand. They need lefty. They need a lefty. It's going to be a Sox Yankees bidding war for a starting pitcher. I can't believe he's out of the AL. I can't believe it's over. We're on to Vlad.
Wow.
So yeah, dude. I what do you think Yankees fans are feeling right now? Ooh.
Oh God. Yeah, that's dude, true. Whatever we're feeling.
I don't.
Whatever you're feeling. Whatever we're feeling, it's infinitely worse for them. They just traded a shit ton to get Juan Soto, had him for a year, got to the World Series, experienced how incredible he is, and then lost him to the baby brother New York Mets.
Finally, Steve Cohen gets his guy. Now we can give him credit for doing this. Dude, thank God it's not the Yankees. That is so... that sucks for the Yankees. What do you even do now? Bellinger?
That's got to be the move. It's
Christian Walker.
Christian yeah. Walker and Bellinger, and then okay,
Fried.
How do you equal what's Soto? Okay, I don't like this stat, Joe. Don't get mad at me for rambling on. I know this is you know.
Let's we can go along a little bit for this. It's okay. Like okay. This is live reaction. We can't just drop off.
Soto, and I don't love this stat. He was an 8 WAR guy. Bellinger 2.2. Christian Walker, what's he? 2.6. Oh man, yeah, you can't replace this guy. I'm trying to think of like a combo.
No, what it doesn't if you got happen.
Bellinger, Walker, Tanner Scott. That is roughly the same amount of WAR. It's actually slightly higher WAR than Juan Soto.
But you also have to remember, like, who are the guys in the lineup that they're in the rotation, whatever, that they're replacing? Because like, it's like they're replacing a 0 WAR guy. It's like they're replacing a 1.5 WAR guy. It's like you're yeah. not you can't. Once there's a reason he's now the highest paid player, the largest contract in sports history. Like yep. He's irreplaceable, and the Yankees are about to get considerably worse. I think we need to sit here and hope that they sign Christian Walker or Pete Alonso or some long term option for first base, because that's going to be a team that's hungry to get that star player to replace Soto. And They're going to be stiff competition for Vlad if they don't have anything plugging up a spot.
Wow, dude, this is crazy. I feel bad for my Yankee fan friends who I like, but for the rest of them. Oh man, enjoy third place. Great. Dude, I would say the Red Sox are the second.
No deferrals. No deferrals. Yeah, no deferrals. No deferrals. Yeah, but dude, 765 mil, no deferrals is crazy.
Yo, I want the Mets to fail so badly.
What do we think? What do we
75 think the signing bonus.
That's how you overcome the Boston tax advantages by giving them.
Yep.
What do you think the Red Sox final offer came in at? Cotillo says he's working on finding it, yeah. So I'm hoping they'll be able to find it.
What 440. Do you think it?
No, I'm going to guess 7 flat.
Yeah, I was going to say like 702 or something.
660, I think. I think they're going to disappoint us. I don't think they have balls. And yeah. Red Sox are losers, boys. They are losers. They lost this. They get no credit. Remember,
okay, I'll push back on that, Sammy. I'll push back.
I do push back.
They get some credit, but again, it's a hold. It's a holdover
zero.
Spot. Sammy, they get credit because they made a legitimate run at a $700 million player and offered him as such, we think. If they don't take that and then use it for something else, I'm not saying they have to spend $700 million this offseason, but if they don't take that push and use it elsewhere to make this team better, like this has to go, like, and this could take a year. Like,
I don't relate those two things. I look at it as these guys put, you know, everything into this pitch. And yeah, they're going to be able to pivot and everything, but they put everything into this pitch. They brought up Big Poppy. They're flying out to go see him. They had like 3 rounds of meetings. They failed, dude. They failed. It's a failure. So I appreciate them trying. It makes me optimistic about the future, but they failed. So losers.
Yankees bid 760 for 16 years. And he went to the Mets for 765 for 15.
Wait, say that again?
The Yankees.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, there's an opt-out. There's an opt-out after year 5, according to Andy Martino. So he'll be back on the market entering his age 31 season, and we won't be that excited at that point because it'll be the back of the run. But no, Sammy, I'll push back on you on that because the reason I say it's a holdover is because it's so contingent on what their plan B is. And because we went into this offseason and said we want a frontline starting pitcher, we want a back end bullpen guy, and we need a right-handed power bat. And
what does that have to do with Soto? They didn't get Soto. They failed. Look, it makes me optimistic that they're going to do stuff, but they get no credit for this. They didn't get the job done.
That's why it's a holdover. You're right, Sammy. They don't get any firm credit because they haven't done anything.
Yeah, I feel good about them doing stuff because of the money that they offered. But when it comes to Soto, you get no credit. You didn't get the job done. Who cares? We're not going to care in a month. Hey, remember they were almost in on
Soto? No, we're not. We're not going to care. But in a month, I like to think that because they were so heavy in here, that there is motivation to do something. It's like I'm predicting. It's like when I was talking to you the other day and you were telling me that Steve Cohen shouldn't get the credit for being a big spender. It's like, I know he's going to be a big spender. Yeah. And here he is, big spending. Sammy, come on.
Now we know.
Oh, come on. You knew before.
Nah, I'm not going to put the cart before the horse. I said probably.
No, this is what we do. We tell you what's going to happen.
But what if friggin' Soto picked the Yankees? Then you'd be like, oh, I thought that he was going to, like, he didn't. You got to see it first.
But I was right.
The same thing about the Orioles. Right. Remember? You said the same thing about the Orioles. They're not even in on Soto. What's their excuse? You said he's going to spend. He's definitely going to spend. They got a new owner, brought in Burns.
Okay.
Already let him walk.
Hey, I think the Orioles are going to bring in someone that we view as a frontline guy. I don't know who it's going to be.
Why were they not in on Soto? What's their excuse? New owner, young team, under the luxury tax.
I understand not necessarily being, you just bought a team for multiple billions of dollars and now a $760 million player. Because I understand that. It's different when you have a ace pitcher that's leaving your team. Like, you better find a replacement for that. But
I agree. I just don't like giving guys credit for talk. Like Steve Cohen did some things and he had a high payroll, but he had never brought in that big marquee guy. He brought in Verlander and Scherzer when they're in their 40s, which is needs context, but yeah, this is his first like huge big fish that he's landed. So now he gets credit.
There is good news here.
What do you got, Pat?
The American League is absolutely wide open. There is no reason the Red Sox should not be on everybody and everybody. Wide open.
I cannot believe that he only took, and granted, I know we don't know the opt-out situation, but he only took $5 million more with the Mets. Like, he's not getting another contract after his Mets one's over. Like, he took $765 with the Mets over $760 with the Yankees. That's crazy. Yeah. The Red Sox, I'm sure, were not in that ballpark. And that's why I think the vibe today, and Chris Cotillo tweeted this too, but I think we all felt it. The vibe today was that this probably wasn't happening. The silence clearly, I think, was because both teams upped their offers significantly and it made him need to really think about this thing.
Dude, I can't believe what the fuck do the Yankees do? I'm so fascinated. I'm most fascinated by the Yankees right now because I have no clue what the hell they do.
They can't be in the trade market. They have no farm to do.
Yeah, no, it's going to have to be a free. Like their offense, they're going to go after Teoscar here, I think. And I mean, I don't know. I don't think the Yankees are going to get stupid with their money. It's just, I don't know. I think Christian Walker. I don't know. It's just there's no equation that adds up. Cody Bellinger plus Christian Walker plus a starting pitcher. Their rotation was good last year.
Would you guys trade for Vlad? I know you mentioned it earlier. Would you do it? Take the risk?
Yeah.
Yes.
You might wind up like the Yankees.
I would do it if you're willing to put forth the foot that you did here. Okay, follow-up question to that, because I would, and I'd get uncomfortable because at a certain point, you just have to get uncomfortable. Do you think the Mets will be in the market for Vlad a year from now?
Yes.
If they don't sign Alonso or Walker?
Yes.
Nah, I don't, because they dumped the Scherzer and Verlander contracts. So
wait, ready? Red Sox last and best offer on Soto was around $700 million for 15 years.
Okay. Yeah. So, see, no credit. But that does make me feel encouraged. So,
it's about what are you going to do? It's not how can you spend $700 million this offseason, but $700 million for 15 years. Can someone do the math on that? What is that AAV wise?
700 divided by 15.
It is 46.67.
Okay, so we know at minimum they're ready to commit that much money. If you get an ace, that's Burns and Fried are both going to top 200 million. So we're getting into the 30s with those guys. I mean, if you get one of those guys plus Teoscar, it's now taking you probably into the 50 plus, closer to 60 AAV. I don't know, but long term, I hope there's a big star coming to Boston using that money that they were prepared to sign Vlad for, or to sign Soto week. For.
It's going to be a big week, fellas.
Yeah, we're going to learn a lot based on how the pivot goes from here. I'm curious how fast it goes.
Got to do something. Got to do something, Red Sox. Can't have another season like 2024. I can't take it. Please. Please, John Henry. Grow some fucking balls, you old fuck.
There's a very realistic possibility. If the cards fall the right way, the Yankees add a ton, the Red Sox add a ton. At a point where it's Red Sox, Yankees fighting for the American League. The AL is that wide open.
AL stinks, yeah. I mean, the Orioles are one of the better teams, and they're not scaring anyone.
Oh, they're the ones who should be celebrating the most here. Besides Mets fans, of course. Like that's the team that just caught a huge dub with this one.
Yeah. Red Sox too, man. I mean, I know we're all upset that the Red Sox didn't get Soto, but man, the biggest rival just took a dagger to the heart. I can't wait to see what the Yankees do. It's going to be the saddest shit you've ever seen.
I'm so sad. Like, it's so annoying. Like, of course, the one time the Yankees lose the giant star, we have to like have had our hearts set on being the one to take it. Question: Would you like I can't like I'm happy that they lost the guy, but I can't sit here and celebrate. Like I'm upset they didn't get Soto. Like that sucks.
Yeah, same. I'm just glad it's not the Yankees.
Yes.
I'm upset in that John Henry has grown his pair.
Yeah. I don't want the Mets to win. Mets are like the most uncool brand, I feel. They're like,
Can I pose a hypothetical question just out of curiosity?
Yeah.
If the Yankees had beaten the Dodgers and won the World Series, would Soto have changed his mind and would have re-signed?
Yes.
I don't think so.
No. Just think about how long ago the World Series.
I mean, it was about the money. It was about the money. Their outlook looks the exact same regardless of whether they win three extra games in October or not.
Pujols left the Cardinals right after winning the World Series, right?
Ooh, I don't remember. I know he did win that World Series.
Yes. Yep. 2011. Yep.
Yep. Okay. Question for you guys. What is better? Being in it and coming up short like we did, like the Red Sox were, or not having been in it at all? Because if they weren't in it at all, we'd be sitting here celebrating right now. But they were in it. But is it better to have been in it and we're a little bit hurt right now? But is it
emotionally
better?
Emotionally, it's better that they don't even get involved. But, you know, logistic wise, they just put 700 up. So I think they're going to spend.
I agree with you, Sammy. I think it's a pretty easy decision that, like, yes, it's better for them to have been in it because it points to a better future. But like, God damn it, dude, can you imagine how much fun we'd be having right now if the Red Sox just sat it out? Like, we'd be so happy.
Yeah, we'd be thrilled.
I don't know. Like, I'm always going to say it's better to be in on these guys and then lose them. Because imagine if they weren't. We would be here clamoring about John Henry's cheap again. Why aren't they in on him? Why aren't they in on him? I would much rather be competitive in there and lose and genuinely want the guy than not be in there at all. Because you never know how the cards are going to fall. Maybe he didn't really care about money. Maybe he cared about farm system, long-term success, all that stuff.
The Mets visit the Yankees in the Bronx May 16th, 17th, and 18th. That is going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then the Dodgers are going to play the Mets in the playoffs and beat them in five games.
Are you, Gordo, are you insisting a playtesty road trip?
Absolutely.
That would be fun.
I am not spending money to watch two New York teams play each other.
Ugh. You wouldn't want to. You wouldn't want to be there while the Yankee fans are in agony watching.
I would rather watch if I got a free ticket. I think I'd rather watch from home. I don't want to be around those people.
This is a seismic move for the game. Yeah. All right, give me just real quick because we have been on here for a long time, but obviously, like, we literally started this podcast at the single worst time. Yeah. Maybe if we'd started it 2 minutes earlier and then the news broke right after we got off, maybe that would have been a little bit worse. But give me your perfect off season now going forward. Realistic. Just off the cuff. Like, we'll have time to think about this. This is not binding. But just off the cuff right now, give me your perfect off season.
I don't know. Fucking crochet, free agent pitcher, whatever. Who cares? Right-handed bat.
Oh, come on, Sammy. This,
I don't know. It's just
they,
like,
can become a playoff team based off of the moves they make this week.
Oh, dude, I think they're going to be a playoff team. I'm just like, I'm so sick of the Red Sox being losers. They're such colossal fucking losers. I'm so sick of it. Ah, two starters
and Teoscar. 700 mil. I can't.
They lost. They failed.
They didn't get the guy. That doesn't mean they lost. The winner of the Juan Soto sweepstakes is not the winner of Major League Baseball.
No, they lost this bid.
They lost the bid for Juan Soto. Yes.
They've lost this bid. They've lost way more games than they've won for the last 6 years. I'm sick of it. All they do is fucking lose every year. They find new ways to lose. And I'm not that upset about the Soto thing. It's good he went to the Mets. The Yankees don't have him. Like, that's great. Kind of hilarious. But it's just like, at the end of the day, the Red Sox lost another bidding war. Interest Kings didn't get the job done. John Henry can't close a deal to save his life. They got to change it up, man.
Sammy, gotta get more uncomfortable. $700 million. It's not.
Yeah,
it's
and
not,
that wasn't
it's
enough.
Not like they, we, it's not. And like they, we all knew it wasn't like they nickel and dimed around.
But they didn't get the job done.
Sammy, but going into the season, people laughed when people said he was going to get $500 million. Like this seven. He offered what would have been the largest contract, or around the area at least, of what would have been the largest contract in baseball history. Like I can't fault him. I can't call that a negative.
And no, like, it's not a negative, but they lost. It's not a positive either.
You're calling them a loser. You're calling them losers for this.
They are losers. They've lost this situation. They lost the bid for Juan Soto. They lost a lot of games the last 6 years. They need to switch it up and get this stink off of them. They're losers right now.
Sammy, it's like in 2021. It's like in 2021 when we entered the season with that team with no expectations, and they made it to the ALCS and they lost. And yes, that experience of losing that series sucked. But you know what? That team made it a hell of a lot further than we thought, and they exceeded our expectations. The Reds I'm just saying, in that moment, you had to feel a hell of a lot better about the future outlook of the Sox than you did going into the season. Didn't end up being that way. But yeah. I'm just saying, sometimes getting there and being in the area is the sign of good things to come. So it's not like you don't have to be negative about it. Like, it was a good thing that they did what they did here. It wasn't the result we wanted, but it's going to lead to good things in the future. And that's why I'm disappointed, but I'm not going to be mad at them. I'm not going to call them losers for this.
No, I agree. It's a good thing that they put this much money up. It makes me optimistic that they're going to do more stuff, but you got to call a spade a spade. They lost. They're still losers. Until they're not. Like, I love the Red Sox. I want them to win. I don't like calling them losers, but that's what they are. They got to win a bid. When was the last time?
Do you think they'll win a bid? Do you think they'll win a bid this offseason?
Yes.
Sammy?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I don't want to hear it then.
No. See, Gordo, this is where you and I differ. You give credit before it's earned. I will never do that.
I'm not giving them credit.
You said you were proud of the Red Sox because of quotes a few weeks ago. Fuck yes. That. They got to do it. They got to show me.
Wait, can we agree on something?
Let's hear it, Pat.
Hypothetical world. John Henry went 675. Steve Cohen is going 8. There was no way they were winning that battle.
775. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Like, there was no outcome where he was outbidding Steve Cohen.
Wait, Pat, you're saying even if John Henry went to 775, Cohen would have gone to 8?
Yes.
I agree with that.
Yeah, but maybe that would have
he was fighting a battle he wasn't going to win.
Then why even get into it if he was never going to win it?
Because you can't get if you don't try, Sammy. You got to, like, it's going to be the same song and dance for every big free agent. There's always going to be other teams out there.
So what you're saying, Sammy, is that they're losers for not winning the bid, but they're losers if they weren't involved at all?
No,
it just sounds like you're saying this like double-edged sword of like they're going to be losers either way if they're not in on the big free agent, and then if they lose on the big free agent.
Different types. Yeah, I mean, this is like they're losers, but at least I feel like they can turn it around. If they didn't even get in on Soto, actually, I probably wouldn't have even thought about it, because at the beginning of the offseason, we're all like, it probably doesn't make sense. They need pitching more than anything.
I think, Sammy, I think it's fair to have the opinion of, until I see it, I'm not going to give them credit. But I'm just not going to call them losers when I can see the writing on the wall that they're about to do something big. If they don't do the big thing, then I'll pile on them as much as anybody. But like, I don't want to sit here and pile on them, and then a day later they sign Corbin Burnes, and then I'm chasing my tail backtracking because they did the big thing that I figured they were going to do the whole time.
No, I think you can call them losers and say, like, I think they'll sign someone, but right now it's like, you can't, like, they've missed the playoffs 5 of the last 6 years. They're losers. You got to do something to change it to be not a loser anymore. They haven't done that.
The team in the last half decade has been losers. I'll give you that. Yes. But I'm saying the way they are operating right now this offseason, that is not a loser mentality. That is not something that's going to result in them being losers next year if they continue and execute on it. If they don't, if they fail, then pile on them. But I'm just saying, like, if you call them losers now, like, I don't want to hear it in a couple days if you're excited about a move they made.
No. They're losers now, but I think they can shake that reputation and make a splash. And then all of a sudden, hey, there you go. Now you're not a loser anymore. Congrats. You landed Corbin Burnes. I can't call you a loser anymore.
No, I think it's fair. I just,
It's not like you're Red Sox are losers, period. It's like, no. They're in this spot where they've been for pretty much the last 6 years. And to climb out of it, they have to win a bid. And they haven't done that. And I'm not going to give them credit for being coming in third place. Congrats on third place. It is a lot of money and it makes me feel confident. But you don't get credit for coming in third in a bid. That's what we've been mad at them at for the last...
If you want to put it like that. You get temporary credit in my eyes for putting a legitimate effort and a $700 million bid on the table. That's not something that most owners are going to do.
All right, I wouldn't say sport. Credit. It like the optimism is, I guess, how I'm looking at it. It makes me optimistic, but I don't want to give them, you know, a pat on the back for making me feel like they might do something. Like, not there yet.
Something's going to happen.
Tipping over something right now. Gordo, I'm going to need you to DM Teoscar Hernandez.
Oh, true.
Oh, that's so depressing.
I'm gonna have to get in there.
Oh, we were just talking about Juan Soto. Now we're trying to slide into Teoscar's DMs to
listen. That guy would be, obviously we just talked about him a bunch from a baseball standpoint. He'd be fun and he'd be a content king. Like,
yeah, he would.
He's one of the nicest dudes, and I like everyone who's met him loves him. Here, this is the point in play, Tessie, where you start to hear us cope a little bit.
No, I'm not coping. I'm calling them losers. They failed. I'm just telling you straight up. They're losers. I think they'll shake that label, but right now they haven't.
I think we all agree by the end of this offseason, we're going to feel better about the roster, but like way better about the roster than we do right now. But as we enter, I mean, we're about to enter the first full day of winter meetings. It starts now. Like, Soto's off the board. He's not a Boston Red Sox. The dream is dead. It hurts. There was a gazillion Photoshops. But guess what? The chase for Vlad Jr. starts right now. And I'm going to start watching highlights the second we get off this recording. Vlad Jr., the chase starts now. We can get an ace. We can get Teo. We can get another reliever. I don't want them to do anything that's going to take them out of the Vlad chase a year from now. Ken Rosenthal says that guy's as good as gone in a year. That's a guy who needs to be in this uniform. There's never been a better swing, a better fit, personality-wise, a better, like, a guy in the perfect age range that this ownership group has shown they're willing to pay. Vlad Jr., let's make it happen. Any last words from you guys before we get on out of here? We got it. We got to wrap it.
Garrett Crochet.
Let's do both.
Hell yeah.
Let's do both.
No, that's all I got.
All right, man. I mean, I was doing the rap thing. Actually, I don't even think I did rap it. I think literally as soon as I started the rap, I said he was gonna sign in the middle of it, and he signed right before it. Subscribe, 5 stars everywhere. YouTube, WEI. We're on the Play Tessie playlist. Subscribe there. Thumbs up. Find us on socials at Play Tessie, Twitter and Instagram. We will be churning out a lot of content. We assume there's going to be some emergency pods coming up, man. Hopefully we're going to want to do an emergency podcast like 12 hours from now. We're going to need like a quick move to just like get us back on the saddle. I don't know, but appreciate you guys tuning in. Appreciate it if you made it this far. Obviously we don't love releasing hour and a half podcasts, but circumstances call for it, man. And Juan Soto live reaction only here on Play Tessie. That's where you're going to get it. We'll be back. I don't know when we'll be back. I'm hoping emergency pod. We're going to play it by ear this week, man. There's so much going down this week. It's going to be crazy. And the Juan Soto move just gets it started. But we appreciate you guys tuning into this one. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing. Appreciate you guys tuning into this long special edition. Juan Soto does not sign with the Red Sox version of Play Tessie. Thanks for tuning into this one. Peace.